Hello, everyone. Welcome to this amazing podcast with Luke Friesen.
Hello.
Andrew Golubich.
I'm here.
We call him Gitch. My name is Ron Friesen, and this is Between Two Worlds. And this is episode number 27, my favorite number, by the way.
Why is it your favorite number?
Well, this was the number of Daryl Sittler, famous hockey player for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and Frank Mihalovic, the Big M, also wore this.
We did a segment a few months back on favorite numbers, and I'm pretty sure you didn't say 27 was your favorite number.
Pretty sure I was not even part of that podcast then, because 27 would be my favorite number.
Or I'm wrong.
Folks, anytime Gitch opens up his mouth on my favorite number, you just got to recognize that he's probably speaking from inaccuracy. 27 is my favorite number. This is episode 27. We're going to talk about scary movies.
Scary movies?
Scary movies.
I don't like scary movies.
Wow. You know, Are any of you guys afraid of the dark? Like, does darkness scare you?
I wouldn't say it scares me. I'm probably just like most people where, I mean, I like to sleep in the dark. I like when it's dark outside.
You like to sleep in the dark opposed to sleeping in the light?
No, I just mean I don't need like a little night light. I'm not scared of the dark.
Oh, okay, okay.
There's always that certain eeriness when you really can't see anything.
How about as a kid? Were you scared of the dark when you were a kid?
Not so much.
I had a nightlight.
It was usually...
You had a nightlight, yeah, I know.
If I had to go to the basement for something...
Like, dark always freaked me out as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, is there something about darkness? Like, I grew up on the farm, right? And so, I mean, every now and then we'd look out the window, it's pitch black, whether it's winter, summer, whatever. But typically, if it was winter, and my dad would say, okay, who left the lights on in the barn?
Go, it was you.
Delmer.
This is my brother, Delmer, probably.
And you had
and
to go...
Say, so... Okay, go to the barn. And then you automatically assume you run as fast as you can. It's dark. And you know there's like 8 wolves, like ready to pounce. They've been waiting for you because that light's on. Now they're there. Or there's a massive polar bear lurking behind, you know, the haystack.
Polar bears are
I've
common.
Always been more afraid. I've always associated the fear of dark, to be honest. Like you bring up wolves and polar bears and that kind of thing. Like those are legitimate fears, cougars, that kind of thing.
Sasquatch.
Yeah, totally. Sasquatch. Pumas, all kinds of things. But I've always associated that fear more with people. So not, hey, there's a predator gonna get me. It's there's somebody. There's a person. And always, I mean, always as a kid, if I was scared of the dark, it wasn't because I was worried there was an animal or something. It was always somebody. I always had that fear that there was somebody who either broke in or was hiding or was trying to catch me or something. It was always a fear of a person, which I think is interesting.
Okay, so then you land up translating some of those fears that we have, like legitimate, like if it is darkness or the fear of whatever. And now we talk about scary movies. You know, the very thing that, whether it's television or whether it's movies, that introduces us to facing our fears on the screen. One of the things that, obviously, as we move now towards fall, and it's end of September, but next month, Halloween, and we'll see the stores are packed full of scary costumes.
They are already.
And for a long time they have been. Mm-hmm. And now movies will start appearing on TV and Netflix and obviously the theaters and promoting more scary movies. Obviously, I'm not up on scary movies at this point in time. Never been into scary movies. Never really watched scary movies because scary movies scare me and I don't like to be scared. Mm-hmm. Therefore, mm-hmm. I haven't really been part of that.
It's so interesting, though, that... just how creative they are. I mean, generally, I'm not a big fan of these horror, scary movies for the sake of going to see a scary movie. But it's interesting how, like, even if you were to take a step back and maybe watch it with the lights on or something, and just analyze all the different, like, the camera angles, the soundtracks that are played, it's interesting how they really draw you in. And it's about a lot more than just something jumping out at you or a scary plot where there's a serial killer out on the loose or something. But the producers and the writers and these kinds of things really are at every single angle adding these elements of fear and tension all throughout every scene, lighting, soundtracks, all these things.
I know, it's all tie into big it. Money. Mm-hmm. I mean, special effects are huge.
Huge.
And of course, you know, we live in a world where technology has driven this even more so. But from your perspective as mm-hmm. youth pastors, your thoughts on scary movies. Should kids see them? Should they be part of it?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that we can encourage students and or parents? You know, parents, I don't know, you know. How do we handle the horror, the scary side,
mm-hmm.
which obviously represents a number of different things and, you know, for us to...
Movies are funny, especially these days. It seems like we're, you know, so part of our curriculum with youth, we do what's called film and theology, where we'll watch a film and then we'll talk about it and we'll create a discussion around it. And so even when I'm choosing movies for that, I have to be really careful. What am I actually going to turn on in front of a bunch of students inside the walls of a church?
Mm-hmm.
So movies, I've always had an interesting time. Kind of, they've just been a bit nebulous. What movies can I recommend to students? What movies can I maybe admit that I've seen, or what movies should we be okay talking about? And so to do with horror movies, scary movies, I mean, I think a lot of this has to come from transparency. I know there's probably everyone at some points convinced their parents. I think we talked about this last week, where they want to go see one movie and they go end up sneaking into another one, right? And I think it comes from an honest, or they I think it can happen in a transparent setting where, you know, scary movies aren't necessarily bad in themselves. But I guess I would ask the question, why? And I would ask that for any movie. Why are you going to see this movie? What's positive in the movie? What's negative? Are there redemptive pieces? Is it worthwhile? And that's kind of a framework I would use for any movie, not just scary movies, but... Typically, though, I think there's a rush that comes with watching a scary movie. There's kind of that thrill, right? I mean, that's a genre, a thriller movie, thriller slash horror often. And so I think sometimes it's that rush that we seek and teenagers seek. They'll go see a movie because, hey, all their friends are going to go and whatever. Maybe they can go out and go for fast food and then go to get junk food and then go to the movie. And it's that whole experience. And it's a shared experience watching this scary movie. Whether it's in the theater or someplace else, I think okay. There really is that thrill that that is sought after.
Okay.
I don't know. The scary movies I've never been into. I just always thought about the actual filming that goes behind it, which must be so weird. Because it's like, oh, there's like zombies coming after me. But if you actually were like watching it happen in real life, like this isn't scary at all.
It'd be pretty silly.
And so I always picture like the camera filming all this and like the girls when they run into the closet looking all scared. But just how funny it actually be to watch that happen. So it never really affected me. I've only watched like a handful. But I think this has to do with the whole... idea of thrill seeking, thrill chasing, adrenaline junkies is that your heart rate goes up and they love the boom, 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 boom thing. And it becomes being like, I need to feel alive, that this is how I feel alive. And it just gets more and more and more, or it can be. It doesn't necessarily have to. But I think there can be some good that comes out of it, especially for people who are not Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Where it can show that there is more to this life than just the material in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
That in this life, there is not just you and me. There are demons are real. Angels are real. All this stuff is real. And most of the time in scary movies that demons and the devil and anything that kind are portrayed in a scary, horrific light, that they're stealing souls or want this from humanity and want to rule humanity. I mean, you don't see a lot of good. You see a lot of dumb priests sometimes who try to do exorcism and it doesn't work. But it does show that there is actually more to this life than just what you can see in front of you, that there is a whole nother realm. And as Christians, I think it's a good conversation starter for us that we can use as cultural relevancy to other people. But
well, is there a fear of deceit in all of this? I mean, yes, I do recognize that these movies will bring out, okay, there is the supernatural, the evil supernatural. Therefore, there must be a God supernatural. I think most people would recognize, okay, if there's an evil supernatural, then there must be a God or slash good supernatural. I mean, I haven't gotten, you know, big into these movies at all, but I think of Nicolas Cage, you know, when he is the son of Satan, right? And he's this biker. And
I mean, that's not really a horror movie.
Well, it's scary, man.
Ghost Rider?
That dude, he comes free. He's freaky. You're not. Oh man, I get scared. But it depicts. Okay, that's the satanic side of life. I mean, and you can actually get closer and snuggle up to that, and see if there's actually any good in this. You know, and so, you know, I mean, obviously, this has been a slippery slope for movie makers for many, many decades. You know, what was scary in the 1950s when movies were starting to really make it big and television started happening, so you could make movies that could be obviously
like Hitchcock, right?
Yeah.
And now we laugh at that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. You know, I mean, oh boy, there's a flock of ravens. I'm out of here.
Right.
You know?
Well, I actually would be out of there, but anyway, that's another story.
But so is there, how do we approach it then? How do we approach this? I mean, it is a cultural thing, and obviously Halloween coming up, and we'll talk more about that later on in our podcast time here down the road. But I mean, this whole idea of the supernatural, the evil, you know, whether it's science fiction, whether it's horror, whether it's scary flicks or whatever, how do we respond to this? Like, what do we tell our kids? What do we tell our students about this? Should they do it? Should they go watch it?
Right. Well, another few things come to mind, but I mean, there's no doubt there is a spiritual component to it. And I think sometimes anything in a film that would be credible or would actually be worth talking about, sometimes I think is just so masked in the Hollywoodness of it, you know, the effects and this, the music and all these things, that it would almost be, you'd almost have to watch it a few times over to no longer be scared by the scary parts in order to actually be able to dissect the movie and figure out what's going on. So, I mean, maybe that's where reviews can be helpful, where you're reading stuff from critics to be able to pick apart the good elements or the noteworthy things to talk about. And I mean, the other side of that too, you brought this up a second ago, Ron, with there's almost this wheel. It's a snowball effect where in the 50s, what was scary is now kind of the laughing stock. And it seems like even I remember when I was a kid, one of the scary movies that had come out, I think this was like early 2000s, was a movie called Jeepers Creepers. And then they made a sequel. And I only ever saw the first one. But that whole, like, the whole idea was there's this maniac who basically come and he catches you and will just cut you up and kind of this weird story. So the story follows a young boyfriend and girlfriend who are just running from this guy because he's after them. He drives this creepy van. And anyways, so to me, I mean, I remember I first saw that movie and I was horrified. And I mean, now things have probably just gotten so much more intense with technology and these kinds of things that would probably be a pretty low-key movie now, I'm sure, to watch. But I remember, though, that movie stuck in my head for so long. And I think that, I mean, fear, God's intention for us isn't to live lives of fear. He doesn't want us to, at every corner, be anxious and afraid and nervous. And so in a lot of ways, I think the whole purpose behind scary and horror movies is almost opposed to what a Christian should want to fill their mind with. Not fearful, anxious, scary, horrified feelings, but rather we should seek to, you know, live at peace with one another, and we should seek to fill our minds with things that are good and pure and holy and these kinds of things. And so in a lot of ways there is a contrast, but at the same time it can be a huge touch point for us as Christians and even youth workers to be able to have, Luke brought this up, to have conversation points with other people, teenagers, adults, even Christians and non-Christians, say, hey, there's a movie going on. Did you see it? What did you think? What was good? What was bad? And so I really think they can be helpful overall. I mean, I wouldn't make a practice of it for my own pleasure to watch these movies, but I really think they can be a good touch point to have these spiritual conversations and to have these life conversations. What is life all about? Like, this movie suggests, you know, that this happens when you die, or that life is just kind of over and that's it. What do you think about that? How do you feel? And so they really can be good tools to just open up that box.
If you think that, or as a Christian, that you can watch that with your brain on and not get, and not seek it, as Gitch says, for like the pleasure, I think that's okay. If you can do this and you're like, okay, I'm watching this for purposes so I can actually talk to other people. If that's actually your mindset going in, sure. But if it's not, if you're getting pleasure out of seeing or getting scared and stuff like that, I don't think that's all right. It's same with like anything. If you have the music, is it if it's affecting who you are in a negative way, I don't think you can be listening to that music.
Yeah, video games, everything.
Video games. And that's why I tell my youth kids, I'm like, if you can't listen to this stuff and it affects your language and it affects how you treat other people, then you should not be listening to this. But if you can listen to this and actually see from a cultural point of view, what are they actually talking about? What are they rapping about? What are they singing about? And you can actually be like, whoa, this is, and actually think with your brain on instead of just lying there and just letting these words saturate your thoughts, then that's a problem. And that's like anything. If you turn your brain off while listening to this or while watching this, that's where you get into trouble, and that's where your character starts to change.
So in the scope of the teenagers we work with, that sounds like a really, you know, amazing conversation that we can have with them. Realistically speaking, a new movie comes out. It's got all the trailers of you know, raw, you know, scary stuff that's horrific, sci-fi, supernatural, good versus evil, evil versus evil, all those kinds of things. How do we prepare our students for this? Should they see it? We know that many of them will, and will it have an effect on them? Yeah, I think it will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we have to ask that question. I mean, there's a new one coming out called...
No, it already came out.
Oh, it already came out?
The clown one.
Yeah, It.
It.
So, and that's a...
Scary movie.
And have our students watching that?
Probably. I think it's more of a young adult thing because it's a Stephen King.
Okay.
It's but a remake from years ago.
Yeah, but it's a book.
It is a book, yeah.
Yeah, it's a book, movie, and now a movie again.
Pennywise, I think, right?
Pennywise is the... Also, Andrew Gettett's kid. His name is Penny.
That's true.
Her name.
Oh.
But anyways, yeah, it's a scary movie about a clown that changes into different... based on your biggest fear, the clown turns into that. And then scares you with that, and then, I don't know, eats your soul or something like that. Something horrifying. But yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I do think it's important, at least for us as youth workers and even as parents, to not necessarily jump right in. But there's a lot of helpful things to be informed. Like, I mean, articles online, there's lots of critics. Plugged In is a good thing. I mean, it'd even be worth reading some secular reviews to just be informed, to see what's going on with these movies, because they are out there and it'll come up. And I think the more knowledge you have, the more information and background and insights you can bring into a conversation with your teenager or even your kid's friends, it'll really work in your favor, because then it gives you a little bit of credibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know oftentimes my mom would challenge the movies we were choosing to see, and we never took her seriously because she just knew whatever she had heard, or occasionally she would read, you know, some conservative Christian review online that no matter what, I mean, it could be any movie, it would give you, you know, a wrong idea of what it was about. And so I really think parents and youth workers and even teachers, it's helpful to read kind of a balanced perspective on a particular issue, so that you can be aware, and you have some credibility in your, what you contribute to a conversation. And if you decide, yes, I am, or no, I'm not going to let my son or daughter see this movie, you have some good reasons for why. And then it really will benefit you. So it is important to do your homework, but that doesn't necessarily, you got to communicate.
You got to communicate. This is not just something that just, you don't want to pick up the pieces afterwards.
Exactly.
Communicate clearly before.
Yep.
Use discernment. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, parents, you got discernment. Your kids are still working towards discernment. So you got to help them figure out discernment. That's where you have scripture. That's where we want to make sure that we're obviously got a foundation on this thing. Yep. Is this going to help my mind? Is this going to, you know, help my soul? Is this going to be beneficiary? So should I even watch this? You got to ask those questions, you know. And I know there's going to be some differing opinions on that. But there are great websites out there to look. Parents, it's called screenit.com, decentfilms.com. There's a couple other ones. Parentpreviews.com/ is another one. ChristianAnswers.net. You know, there's a number of...
Plugged In is good as well.
Plugged In. So just to get all the ratings and figure out what's being said, what's being done, and then have that conversation, you know, I think is a really good thing. But we're excited to entertain your questions. So if you have some more thoughts on this topic of scary movies, the supernatural in film today, we'd love to hear from you at...
BetweenTwoWorlds@northview.org. That's where you can get at us.
Absolutely. So we'd love to hear from you via email there. And we look forward to hearing from you again. This is signing off with Luke, Andrew, and Roland.